to imagine all life as you know it stopping instantaneously and every molecule in your body exploding at the speed of light.
Total photonic reversal.
Photonic reversal.
Protonic reversal with your host, Conan Neutron. Broadcasting from a secret underground lair in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
A gigantic middle finger to everything that is rock about music, rock and roll, and corporate power.
The thing is, though, if you don't laugh, you're going to go on a killing spree with sharpened nails.
Confidence of a hero or a fool, I wasn't exactly certain which.
Could not be more professional.
It means something.
That's my take on it. What's yours?
Protonic reversal!
That's like a science thing, right?
Indeed it is. It's a science thing. It's a science place. It is a scientific fact. They were all up in your face. It is time, once again, for the one, the only protonic reversal. Welcome to it. Episode 462. Back from tour, back on the mic. That's right. We have a returning guest tonight, Mr. John Roman of Microwaves, of course, is on with his bandmates before. And we'll be talking to him in just a moment about the new Microwaves record, as well as Brown Angel, Night Vapor, Rated I, all of his lovely bands. I've known this fellow for a long time. Very interesting drummer, interesting fella. Before we do literally any of that, though, welcome to Conan Neutron's Protonic Reversal. I'm your host, Conan Neutron. I'm a rock and roll lifer that's been touring and recording for 26 years, most known for the band Conan Neutron, The Secret Friends. Music is a huge part of my life, and I use the format of this very long-running podcast to talk about music with musicians whose work I enjoy and respect, but who may not be household names. Now, this is episode 462. If it's your first time listening to the show, archives are available for free. No ads, no sponsors, no kidding. ProtonicReversal.com. However, if you want to support the show and get episodes sooner, $1 a month at patreon.com/protonicreversal will achieve that goal. If you like the show, even just a single episode, please feel free to like, subscribe on your platform of choice, share it around on the internet, even leave a review. All that helps people discover the show, beats back the almighty algorithmic overlords. That's just a darn nice thing to do. Shout out to East Coast Protonic listeners, fans, friends, countrymen who came to the shows, the Secret Friends shows, and you know who you are. Great hanging with all y'all. I think I brought just enough stickers. So that was very nice to see. Tour was great, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk Microwaves and Mr. John Roman. With no further ado, welcome back to the show, Roman. How you doing? We have additional feline content just to boost the YouTube algorithm, I guess, right? Tell me about this new Microwaves record, because again, 2002 is when I first played with you guys, and you'd already been a band at that point. I put you on the Chicago and Milwaukee shows, I think, that we played on our first U.S. tour, and so I've known you for 23 years ish. Okay. Yeah. And, we had that great episode with your compatriots for the last record. And I actually went through and found, a couple Microwave CDRs. Recently I did this big ripping and burning project of just like, oh, yeah, let's all. And I was like, I even messaged you. I was like, hey, which one is this one? And we determined, I think, that it was half of one of the records and like half like some demos or something. Like just some kind of.
Oh, yeah. I think. We were trying to put together some sort of sampler at the time.
Right, it just said Microwaves on it. I was like, I have no idea what this is, and I'm pretty familiar with the material. So I was like, well, it kind of sounds like one of the records, but it kind of sounds like not. And it was like, oh yeah, this is like a weird, as was the style of the time, right? Like here's the CDR of like, oh, this is the stuff we're most excited about. We'll sell it to you for $3 or whatever.
Right.
But the point of fact is that you guys have been doing it for a long time. You have your own kind of built world with all of it. There's been many iterations. The first version of Microwaves I saw Steve Moore was in, right, who later went on to great success with Zombie. And you've kept it interesting, viable, and again, have your own built world for what you guys do. And, you know, I think that's of interest to a lot of people who engage with the show. This what's different about this record?
What's different about it? Well, there's a new bassist.
Always different, right?
I think well, it's it matters whenever it's a trio, I think. Yeah, there's a new bassist, Zach Moore. No relation to Steve Moore.
It's important to note, yes.
Bass player. Yeah. He's in the mix. Still, most of the material was written by our guitar player, Dave.
He's very much a composer mind kind of guitarist. Like, he's, that's his bailiwick, if you will. Like, very,
yeah.
Warp genius, complimentary.
Yeah. And then I sort of bend and twist things wherever I, you know, see fit or try to fight my way in, you know. What do you want to know about the new record?
Well, I mean, it's not even what I want to know. It's like, what do the people need to know? So if people don't know from Microwaves, like, what's the elevator pitch for Microwaves at this point? Like, I've known you guys for multiple decades, so I know what you guys do. But, you know, it's I guess, you know, prog and experimental get, like, thrown around, right? But what does that mean in 2026?
Like I like to say prog punk.
Okay.
Prog punk, I don't know, like, in the vein of, like, I don't know, Devo, No Means No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both very valid touch points, right?
It's metal, so it's kind of Voivod-ish at times.
Especially with the drumming, I feel like. I feel like you do some secret Voivod stuff. Actually, I guess it's not that much of a secret.
Not really a secret, but I take it as a compliment. Thank you.
Yeah. As you should. But it's like, it's something where, at a certain degree, creatively viable artists, the only valid comparison is to past works, I think. And so, but you're in a position that, like a lot of people I talk to on this show, you know, every album you kind of have to reintroduce yourself a little bit, right?
Right.
Like, I think of that Sparks record, it's called, you know, Introducing Sparks, and it's like their eighth record or something, which is like, you know. It's like, yeah, respect.
Yeah, it's a pretty uphill battle.
Yeah, but I think that there's a world, you know, used to be, like, I used to think of, like, when I think of bands like, you know, Six Finger Satellite and Erebon Radar and such, like, bands like that are like, oh, yeah, that's a good corollary for it.
Yeah.
3-1-G, you know, Justin's doing his thing. that was a good fit. But, like, when you are thinking about, you know, bands with you have common cause with, are there bands you think of with common cause with that sound-wise go with what Microwaves do? Or is it just sort of like, you're going to do whatever you do? And
we're just going to do whatever we do.
Yeah.
And there's a less of a rule book or a map for it these days.
Yeah, it's almost as if, you know, the availability of everything has led to a certain degree, whatever walls that were up before about, you know, cross-genre purposes and things along those lines are just like, nobody cares about that anymore.
Yeah, I hope not.
Like, nobody cares at all. And, you know, and that's, there's some freedom to that, but that also can, you don't have that that safe comfort of, oh, we're this kind of band, right? Like, I mean, it must be so nice for the metal bands to be like, oh yeah, we're a metal band, and here's our metal
exactly
music.
Exactly. It's not that easy of a sell.
Yeah, where it's like, yeah, people know what that is, and you know, there's a global culture that will celebrate it and celebrate talking about who is and is not metal.
Right. Exactly.
But I feel like it's a little harder for bands that are more idiosyncratic, where it's like, okay, you know, there's a chance that, like, you know, some kid in high school could hear this new record and be like, wow, what is this? Like, you know, I can't wait to, like, hear more of this, like, insanity. This sounds like the inside of my head or something.
Yeah.
But then, you know, there are also people like, what is this, you know, derogatory? Like, they don't know what it is, and they're not going to seek it out anymore. And I think that a lot of that's avenues of discovery, right? How do people find out about new things? You know, what are the corollaries? But are there any bands you can think of that are, like, you know, contemporary
now bands?
Yeah.
I've been thinking about that a lot lately, and how it's really kind of dwindled.
Right.
There used to be bands that we fit in well with by not fitting in with like preconceived subgenres.
Right.
And a lot of those bands aren't around anymore.
Yeah. And that can be kind of, because now the downside of this instant availability of everything is that,
or they're very limited right now.
Like
they're around in like some limited form or maybe like someone from one of those bands long ago has their own solo project now. But
right.
Yeah.
But there's not that easy go to in a way that there seemed to be this embrace of genre in a way that sometimes is off-putting to me. Like, people unironically calling themselves grunge bands, which is like, wow, that is that is not something that, you know, that was an insult, like, you know, back in the day. It's like, you're just a grunge band? Oh, okay, well.
Yeah.
Yikes, but all right. But they don't look at it with that kind of disdain or with that history with it. They're just going to, you know, engage with it on its own terms. And yeah. I think there's a certain amount of freedom of that, you know, for sure. But also, you know, it's like, it's not like psych. Oh, we're a psych band. Well, by the way, what the hell does that mean? But, you know, they're probably not going to be thinking of you guys when they're saying that.
I would hope they would.
It'd be great. I mean, like, look, all the freaks listen to this show. So you're in the right space.
I mean, I tend to think some of the things we do are psychedelic.
There is a psychedelic element to it, right? But it's also it's crafted music. Like, I feel like there's a solid craft to it that where it's. It depends on what you think of when you say that, and again, that comes back to the, like, what do microwaves sound like? Well, I don't know, angry computers, you know. Like, yeah. I don't know.
and that's the thing, is like, everything's a computer now.
Yeah, what does it mean in 2026? Precisely. Like, yep. Everyone has, like, you know, the sum totality of, like, the Library of Alexandria, like, in their pocket. You know, they use the share cat memes. Okay, well, you know, right on.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's interesting to think about, you know, like, you the associations you've had in the past, you know, Crucial Blast, like, you Explode with Weasel and whatnot, 3-1-G, so on and so forth. There's been a very heavy through line for kind of boundary pushing music, right?
Right.
And I feel like if you know who the Locust and Six Finger Satellite are, great. You got wonderful starting points for what microwaves do. But if you don't know what that is, then. Oh, wow, this is wild. Okay.
Yeah.
Which, oh, wow, this is wild can be a wonderful way to hook someone in if they know to listen to it. But so what makes Temporal Shifter, great record name, by the way?
What makes Temporal Shifter a great record? Other than we put a lot of work into it. There was a lot on the pre-production side this time that we were really, really, you know, working on, like, a lot, more so than the previous record. Like, the previous record was pretty quick.
Right.
And, you know, just kind of like whatever came out, and that's what ended up on the record. And some of those songs we play live and some of them we did not. Whereas there was a lot more road testing this one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just a lot more, like nitpicking, like, mm-hmm. like really, really down to the last, you know, I don't know, down to like the last like phrase, even, you know, it's kind of like, no, like this, you know, I think we need to change this little lyric or you know, there's this little drum section here that like I don't like this fill, and it's just mm-hmm. kind of like it all seemed to matter a bit more.
Yeah, and that's interesting too, because again, to a certain degree, it's, you know, not like you're in competition with anyone, but you're in competition with yourself and what has come before.
Right.
So it's like you don't want to be like, this one, yeah, it's fine. The other records are better. You know, like you don't want that kind of feeling. Yeah, it's all right. If you're that kind of thing, you know. Well, and when there's an interesting space that you guys sort of engage in that is that kind of proggy, avant-garde, but also kind of noise rock and kind of like, you know, whatever, no wave when that was a thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like there's still a considerable amount of like no wave and just straight up punk rock in there.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is coming back around to like someone just hearing this blind and being like, oh yeah, see, I like it. It's fast. Yeah. You know,
I think that's been a problem for some people is it's just like, you know, some people really like their math rock to be a certain way. And
right. It doesn't sound exactly like Unsane. I don't like it. Okay.
Yeah, I guess. you know, that's, I don't know. That's part of the plan though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From day one is to not really have it, you know, I mean, we want to be unique, but you know, not at the expense of, doing something that we don't enjoy either, you know?
Well, sure. And that's something where whatever you guys have been doing, you know, with whoever has been in the third slot, it's always kind of been to your own compass, you know, following your own path and very true to whatever that path has tended to be.
Yeah. This time around, I think, you know, we were a little bit like Zach has the skill set to pull it off. Mm-hmm. And so with that, we were thinking like, well, we'll just do what we do on our end and then kind of let him go.
Right. Yeah. And just have that be the thing. So how did Zach come into the picture?
Weird thing is I've known him for over 20 years just from mm-hmm. being around town, and he's played in a few bands, and he hadn't played in a while. And there's a mutual friend that was talking to him, and he was actually saying, oh, if I were to play in like an established local band, like I think it'd be fun to play with Microwaves.
Mm-hmm.
And he was basically told him, he's like, well, they're looking for a bass player.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, Adam's you know, doing Adam stuff, so
yeah. So it was that's how it happened.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. So he already was familiar with what you guys did and, you know, appreciated it.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's I guess enough. I mean, like
yeah,
like I
suppose
like,
so, sure, yeah.
I still don't get the idea that he was like a fan in the sense of like, you know, like he listens to all the records and knows every word, you know, because there have been some instances where we've gone back and had to relearn old songs. And it's just, you know, well, it's like, okay, well, we're choosing these four. Okay. Why are we choosing these four? And, and are you familiar? Yeah, I know that one. No, I don't know that one. So,
well, and it may just be from perspective also of just, you know, liking your musical approach. And then also it's exciting music to play. You know, you're not sitting there root note while like the singer songwriter, like, you know, this is Bob Dylan impersonation, you know,
right.
It's a little more thrilling than that for as a player, which is cool. You know, I mean,
that was the appeal for him.
Yeah, I mean, well, and why not, right? Because it's all, you know, it's like there's not many bands that, you know, you could evoke Voivod and like Snakefinger in the same sentence. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
If you even know what those things are, of course, but.
Well, the two of us do.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's and of course, and our, the thousands of listeners as well. We're all, well, I know that. I know that. I know what that is. So, how far along was the writing process in this record? Like, was it something that started really when he joined up? Was there songs that existed beforehand? Because I know you guys are always kind of always grinding. So,
I want to say about maybe about a third of it was material that Dave and I were working on whenever Adam was still playing with us.
Okay.
And we even had some earlier versions of the songs with him that never really, you know, went down on tape or whatever you want to call it. So yeah, like we were already working on stuff and I think it may have taken us like, I don't know, like maybe a year and a half, 2 years, something like that.
And was it something where it vibed with him immediately, or was there a kind of like a scaling up period to kind of get him, you know?
It depended on the song. I mean, some things were just more obvious, and it's like the same thing with Dave and I, where he'll bring a song, and there's certain things like I instantly click with, and there are other things that, you know, it just takes a lot more work. Because there's just something about it that isn't immediate for me, but I want the challenge as well.
Right, because it's you've been working together for so long, you know how each other plays, but it's still nice to kind of, you know, kind of be thrown for a loop now and again. Like makes you work a little harder, makes you think about it. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, right? You got to keep it interesting for yourselves too.
Yeah.
So, you're putting together the songs with Zach. At what point does it feel like a record? Like, is it something like, hey, we're writing songs for a new record? Or is it like, oh, it looks like we got 10 songs. Let's go.
I don't know. It sort of felt like a record around, like, 7 songs. But, you know, we wanted to do a little bit more. And then we just kept, you know, adding a song and then adding a song. And then trying to settle on that, and then going like no, seriously, like I got this one other one still. Like, I think we should try this, and we just kept adding to the pile.
Was saxophone always in the picture?
No, it was not. But we've played with Ben before.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't remember which record, but
And he's actually on a song 2 records ago.
That's what it was. Okay, yeah. I remember that you had it. I just didn't remember. Unless I'm like, you know, listening to them for a thing, like I'm not generally thinking about which songs are on which record. Sorry, you're piecing my heart. But yeah, you know. But I remember that you had done it before, because at the time being like, oh, that's kind of very much into the no wave wagon.
He does a live set with us sometimes, you know, like there's maybe about, there's maybe about 4 or 5 songs that he actually has come up with parts for, which I think would be pretty interesting to record all of those as a,
just do them as their own release. So that's kind of exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, just like an EP or something.
Yeah, you know, just as it's hey, you know, do you like this kind of thing? This here it is.
Yeah. You know, it just kind of gives like a different take on those songs.
Because he does other stuff. He's like electronics and clarinet and stuff too, right? Like
he's
kind of an improviser. Okay, yeah. I'm not familiar with his bands, but I know of him as a player.
He's played with a ton of people.
Right. Yeah, which is, you know, that's cool. You do guys have a foot in that world too, right?
Yeah. And he's also been an ace at his instrument longer than I've even been playing mine.
Right, exactly. Just like, you know, just the deep proficiency and sense of identity within it, which is nice, you know.
Right. So there's a little bit of scariness the first time I played with Ben.
Yeah.
Not going to lie, but he's easy to get along with. So.
Yeah, well, he seems like someone that could be like a band leader as well as just like a great utility player at the same time, right?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, not everyone has both of those skills.
Yeah.
Some people don't have either, frankly, but, you know, that's another story. Hey, everybody. Yeah, okay, so was it just like, hey, yeah, you know, we got it, these are the records, or was there a situation where you had more songs than you had for the record there, and like something didn't work, or was it all kind of really very fully formed?
No, we recorded as many songs as we ended up having. Like, it wasn't like we recorded 15 and then put 10 on the record.
Right. Well, I mean, because sometimes a song just, it's like, it's great, but it doesn't work for that record for whatever reason. Like,
right,
fit.
Right. No, which is a fine way to do things as well. It just, we didn't have that luxury. And it just seemed that, you know, the ones we had made a nice, pretty solid 34, 35 minutes.
Right.
When, yeah. You know, put them in the right order.
Not CD era, you know, 2 hours of music.
Exactly. what was it like an hour, 10 minutes, something like that?
Oh my God, yeah, that's like, yeah. That one Soundgarden record is always my go-to of just like, Jesus Christ, like, it's solid, but oh my God, it's so long. And
it
was like,
kind of became the standard for a while. Just
it really
because
did.
You could do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just because you could doesn't mean you should.
Exactly.
Well, tell me, why don't we just, if you're down for it, because I think it is an interesting record, just like all your records, why don't we kind of go through everything song by song, and you can tell me a little bit about each one, like, you know, where it came from versus where it did, something about the recording, you know, song title, so on and
yeah.
So on. Anything you have to share about it, it's all correct, right? You know, it's all fine. But let's, so... Son of the Central Office is the kickoff track. Great.
Yes. That is a callback to the song The Central Office.
Uh-huh.
Which was the first song on our first EP from like 26 years ago.
That's right. It's a sequel.
Yeah.
It's like Son of Kong.
Yeah, exactly. and it's reworked and a little more abbreviated and, you know, kind of like wraps things up before it gets old.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's under a minute. So you have to,
yeah.
Pretty short attention span to be annoyed by.
Yeah. I think the original version though was something like maybe 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes.
Right.
And it really did not need to be.
is that the difference between you know, microwaves of now versus microwaves of then? Just like, all right, that's enough.
There was a certain point where we got to that where it was kind of like, man, let's really, really like work on trimming the fat.
Right, rein it in a little bit, you know.
Yeah. We reined it in a lot.
Oh, I remember. It was definitely a little more shaggier version of the band, for lack of a better term, right? It wasn't bad. It was just like, okay, that's what they're doing, huh? Okay, fair enough. How about All Direct Hits?
All Direct Hits, that was the song that I guess Dave had sitting around for a little while.
Crank up this font.
That one was really fun to write, though. Just because there's a lot of, I don't know. It seems like every movement is like another curveball in that one.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as obvious, you know.
Lots of twists and turns,
it's not really like a verse chorus song so much.
Does the arrangement process different from song to song, or is there normally like a way that you guys operate that way?
A lot of these songs Dave writes, and he'll send me demos, mm-hmm. and it'll be guitar and drum machine. And some of the drum machine parts are there just to sort of inspire me, like as far mm-hmm. as, like, you know, usually like a sort of like the drive or the tempo.
The feel maybe of like, oh, this kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
More evolved version of this kind of thing.
Yeah, because you could have a really sparse guitar part, but still have really, really fast drumming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't know that otherwise.
Right. And you might approach it totally differently, right?
Like right. But this just kind of like cuts the time down.
Yeah.
And
how is he? He's not here, so you can tell me. Like, how is he composing these little drum parts? Is that right?
He's what?
Is he all right at composing these little drum parts, or is it?
Kind of yeah. Like, oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, so, but the thing is, like,
he's such a scientist brain about stuff. Yeah. Like, that doesn't surprise me. But.
Some of them are just very, very simple though. Like it's you know, glorified click track,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Right. Well, yeah, you keep in time just, and yeah.
Yeah. Other things are more developed, and
I respect that.
I have the option to play as much of that or is come up with as much of my own as I like. So I like to try and do a balance of both.
Right. Right. Well, and that's demo versus song.
Yes.
Exactly. You know, I mean, quite literally, that is like demo versus song. And there's always going to be, with rare exceptions, like, you know, a human player interpreting a song and bringing their own creativity to it is always going to have more saliency and more excitement than, you know, just like, you know, keeping the time, putting the general idea down, you know.
Right.
Now you change here, you know. Right, exactly. And I say that as someone who's, you know, I'm way better at that myself than I used to be, but they definitely, like, it's still like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I just like to process it all, though.
Right, right. Well, and then, then you're not working across purposes, too, right? Of like, coming up with something that's great, but it's like, yeah, it's completely not the idea I had. That's something totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Is it something where you get the demos and then you come into practice and like, all right, here's, you know, let's try this, let's go, or do you kind of have mostly write it out ahead of time?
Sometimes I'll get together, or I'll get together by myself, actually, like in the practice space, and mm-hmm. and I'll work out a series of parts that may or may not work with that song, and we really don't know until the two of us are there together, you know, where we test it out. Sometimes it's immediate, and sometimes you got to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, sometimes you're just digging ditches.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I always say. It's like, today we're digging ditches, I guess. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and there's something where oftentimes you'll know when it's working. You'll be great, this is working. And this time's like, I'm kind of
like I said, sometimes, like once in a while, it's very instantaneous, and it's like, yeah, that's the ticket right there.
Yeah, got it. You know, got it in one. Great. And then you have to savor those moments, because sometimes it is not like that.
Like the same thing goes with lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave and I both write lyrics for the band, and then things are sort of chopped up, rearranged to whatever degree, and then handed back out to, you know, like between Dave and Zach. And some of the songs that I've written are also very, very instantaneous. And like I've sat down, and within like 10-15 minutes, I have a complete song.
Mm.
And those are the ones usually that there's little that gets changed, you know, like it just kind of flows out and put it on paper and it's done.
Yeah, you just got to recognize it, that that's happening, and
like,
kind of honor that rather than, you know, subvert.
Well, it's those end up being more of like the more complete thought and mm-hmm. and my favorites.
Right, as opposed to, like, we're using, like, the cut-up method of just, like, well, this one piece, you know, this works, and this doesn't, we'll move it over there and jigsaw puzzle it this way. And
yeah. And the cut-up method is definitely part of our process, but but we don't really try to make it something it's not either.
How do you mean?
Like you can kind of tell which ones are a little bit more of the cut-up method because there's usually less lyrics.
Okay. Sure, that makes sense. And it's right, you're thinking about the composition in a different way.
Yeah, yeah. And they're just sort of there like as another instrument.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the ones, like I said, that like if I sit down and write something that's two solid verses and a chorus, those are the ones that are, you know, people would more traditionally call a song.
Sure. Yeah, you know, I know what you mean. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, where it's like more.
So yeah, like we write songs and compositions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Get you a band that can do both.
Yeah.
Tell me about Stress Capsule.
Stress Capsule, man, that one's nutty. That one kind of started off as one song, and then we sort of added on an intro that kind of became its whole other song. And then they're just sort of sandwiched together. So there's like a big A part and then a big B part that does all these different things. And that's the song. It's very, you know, it's a little even less of your usual, you know, like a singer-songwriter fair.
Right. Not going to be an unplugged version anytime soon.
Right, exactly.
Microwave's unplugged.
Yeah.
It's a real problem. Strange Earwork. Tell me about that one.
Strange Earwork. That one was pretty much mostly written, like, as is. Mm-hmm. As far as the instrumentation, and I think maybe we like added on a little piece at the end once we started playing it together, and the title, it's just sort of a reference to I don't know, complaining.
It's a near bottomless well of influence to pull from, right?
Yeah, it was something I took from some old guy that I used to know, and his wife would get on him about things, and he would tell me, he's like, no, listen, whenever you do this, before you leave, I want you to make sure to, like, you know, dot your I's and cross your T's, like. I don't want to have any ear work, you know? And I'm like, oh, he means like from his wife. Okay. I get it.
Like she's working my ear. Like, yeah, like, yeah, wouldn't exactly. Believe my wife. Yeah.
And you know, and not trying to get into their relationship or whatever. I just thought it was
it's a funny phrase,
a funny term.
Yeah, sure. Of course. Yeah. That's sometimes those can be the best ones where it's like, oh, magpie, you know, doink, got it. Bedtime for Treats.
Bedtime for Treats. That one was sort of like, the original idea behind it was like, if you had a band like High on Fire through the microwave's lens.
Mm, okay.
So it's kind of like they're actually... like one of the few times where like Dave will actually play like bent notes. And
he's a very, yeah, he's not a big note bender.
No.
At all.
That is by design.
Yeah.
You know, like we've got talks about this, and sometimes, you know, he'll be like, no, I am not going to bend any notes. Like fuck that.
it's a bold, decision to make about your playing style.
Yeah,
I respect it, you know.
But that one, it's not really about anything in particular,
mm-hmm.
but it's just sort of has like...
I beg to differ. It's about 9 minutes and 9 seconds.
Well, it is. but I don't know. It's just sort of like these allusions to, I guess, like congregating and religion and consumer culture.
Yeah,
there's a lot and The Walking Dead.
Sure, I mean.
Yeah, like being from Pittsburgh and being around Monroeville Mall is sort of a little nod to George Romero.
Yeah, it's a foundational zombie movie, you know?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, Night was first, but it's like, yeah. But Dawn of the Dead, you know, that.
Yeah, I worked.
Pretty important.
I worked 6 or 7 jobs in that mall when I was a kid.
They still have the little museum in there, at least, you know, even though like the inside is completely different. But
oh, they're tearing it down now.
Are they?
Yes.
Oh, man, we could have stopped by this last time.
Which is also kind of like why it's bedtime.
Oh.
If you get the title now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, they're.
When are they doing that? Is that soon?
I think 2027.
Okay.
Some company bought it. I think it might even be Walmart bought it.
Great. Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
I know. Yeah.
Christ. Okay. Well, visit while you can, I guess.
But it's strange. I've actually been to that mall recently and it was pretty busy. I was surprised.
It was hopping. Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the Replicator days, I think it was during Replicator. Somebody left the door open and I was like, oh, we can go in the back. And it's like, oh, this actually looks like the movie, you know? this part actually, which is like just that it, you know, hadn't been updated really, but you know, like that was exciting as a young man touring. And I was like, oh my God, it looks like the movie. Great. tell me about Watcher.
Watcher. That Dave likes to intro that song live by saying that those things that are powered by solar energy in parking lots of shopping centers are basically like the boring version of RoboCop that we ended up getting.
instead of like Ed 209, we have these surveillance kiosks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not nearly as exciting. It really is a mundane apocalypse, by the way. You know, it's like one of those things where it's like, oh no, we're in apocalyptic times already. It's just incredibly mundane.
It's so whack.
Yeah. Nothing exciting, no jetpacks.
You know,
none of that. So he intros that by referencing those things. I know exactly the thing. I don't know what they're called. I know what you're talking about.
Obviously. Okay. But I mean, that's just part of it. But that's the gist of it.
Understood.
Yeah, there are other fine elements in the song that I'm not going to bore you with right now.
Okay.
You'll have to listen to the record for that.
Yeah, I was going to say people can draw their own conclusions with the record, right?
Yeah.
Digital Camo. How about that one?
That's another one. That is facial recognition.
Yeah.
And that is maybe like one of the earliest songs we were writing for this album that kind of... It had a very like decided like math rock type of like 90s math rock kind of like,
oh sure,
thing. Yeah. That we were like, yeah, it's been a while since we've tried to tackle anything like this in this manner. Let's really like try and, you know, play up a lot of the right angles.
Right, very Don Caballero kind of in that way of,
yeah.
Which is great. I mean, you know, it still rocks. That stuff's still good. It's just that when a band's like, oh, that's all you do, huh? Okay. maybe that's just me thinking that, but it's like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
You're not the only one, I'm sure.
Sometimes it's great. Sometimes, I mean, if they do it well enough, then that's all you need, I guess. Yeah. But sometimes it's like, oh, okay, you're just doing that. Fair enough. No, it's a, you know, block rocker. You know, just the block happens to be a rhombus.
Yeah.
Rhombus, everybody. Thank you. parallelograms.
Is this thing on?
Hello. Can you hear me? Exactly. Let them eat space. How about that one?
That one was sort of like written as like a intended to be like a, like almost like more of a straight up rock song, even though it probably isn't to a lot of people. But that one is like,
I can see it from your frame of reference of like your world. I guess,
you know, like, I mean, yeah. As far as any of the songs on this album, like that was the one that was presented to me that was just kind of like, oh, like this one is essentially a basic rock song.
Yeah. There's no oblique strategies going on. There's no like bizarre left turns. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
There's just some musings about like developing other planets and you know your Elon Musks and Jeff Bezos.
Hence the let them eat cake play on words.
There right? we go. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
They sure do love space, these billionaires. They want to go there.
They're never satisfied.
No.
Yeah.
It's really strange.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever, I'm space obsessed too, but you know, don't see me.
Yeah. I have no desire to go there.
Yeah, I'm good. I like atmosphere.
It seems really awful.
I was gonna say it's first of all, it's mostly empty.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems very
so there's that whole breathing thing, you know. I'm very fond of it.
Yeah.
Crazy. You know, most interstellar travel. Cool. Well, that's you spend your entire lifetime getting there, and then great, I'm here.
Yeah.
Nothing. There's nothing here.
Now you die.
And I guess I'll die now. Decalcomania,
that one was, not going to lie, that one was tough. Had to build up some muscles for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of all over the place. It's kind of, really, really still like not sure what kind of structure that is.
And it's on the record, so
yeah. I mean
whatever it is what it is.
Yeah. We play it, but
yeah,
and then that's the one that Ben guests on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was brought
going. Yeah.
Yeah, like as far as his delivery on it, I liked it. Whenever he played on the song Antibody two albums ago, I think he was bringing that sort of like more shrieky, abrasive type of saxophone playing, and this is actually has like a little bit more of a like a melody in it.
Yeah, almost like a groove to it or something.
Yeah, like right. And it's like something that's like it almost seems like something that wouldn't be out of place on more like a Vangelis album.
Oh sure, yeah. I was thinking like Coltrane versus Coleman, you know. Whatever. Okay. But like, yeah, similar principle of just yeah, like it's a nice melody line with song that's got a lot going on.
Even if the rest of the song isn't nice sounding.
No, it's very far afield from it, but like
yeah,
it's a nice kind of a yeah, like a lifeboat.
Yeah.
In a way that allows a deeper contrast to the more craziness that's going on with everything else.
So. Yeah.
That's good. Was that something that was pre-composed or was that?
That was something we sent him the track and we told him to do whatever he wanted to do. And he actually had a couple different takes.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's maybe it's most of one take. And then there's, one part that's kind of like taken out and repurposed and sewn together in a different spot.
Kind of pastiche in, sure.
Yeah, but nothing too far from what he sent us.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a nice, it's a cool kind of change of pace.
Yeah. And like I said, Ben's just always easy to work with.
Yeah, sounds like it. That's awesome. Plane Made of Bricks.
A Plane Made of Bricks. This is the one that I think, I don't even know why, but for some reason, this is one of the ones I really get a very strong, like, punk vibe from.
No, I can hear that. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got a lot of immediacy to it,
Right. Yeah, and as far as the lyrics go, I really don't know what they're about. I did not write that one. That's a Dave song. Something to do with Prince Charles, maybe? I don't know.
I can tell you. Yeah.
King Charles now?
Please. Yeah, sir. Yeah.
Sorry.
Was there ever any doubt about like what was starting in the record with it? For like sequencing and whatnot?
Son of the Central Office was kind of brought in as like an album intro.
Yeah, it's perfect for that.
Yeah, but the rest of it, no. Like there was no plan. We just sort of figured it out later.
Where everything should go. Nice. And the record cover, it's the fellow from Men's Recovery Project.
Yeah.
Right? It's
New Perk.
Yeah. I always forget that guy's name, but interesting sci-fi novel kind of looking.
Yeah. Always loved his artwork and
absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I chat with him online very occasionally. And then one day I was like, just ask him, you know, like how much it would be. And, it was a number that we could agree on and thought, okay, that won't be too difficult.
That's great. I mean, because you guys have a history of very striking album covers of different styles and variety. Like, I think they stand out, you know, so it's good to see you keeping that tradition. And then Decoherence is putting this one out, and there's like a limited-edition orange vinyl and what have you, things along those lines, right?
The black was the limited edition.
Oh, is it really? Okay, well.
Yes.
We regret the error.
And I think because of that, the black actually sold out pretty quickly.
Okay. That's like the audiophile? Oh, audiophile version.
Yes, exactly. That was the vinyl snob version.
Yeah, that's right. People think there's a difference, which is like, all right.
Yep.
Why don't you go to Reddit about it? But anyway.
we've had enough complaints before.
Really?
So
well, at least people are listening, I guess.
It was within the budget, and we said, okay, let's make a small run for those people that are going to get in a tizzy over it.
Yeah, they're mad about it. Okay.
And sure enough, those ones sold the quickest.
Okay. Well, hey, I mean, it's all right. Audiophiles, congratulations. Your pedantry has won the day. thank God. Cool record. So, what's the Decoherence? How did it come about working with Decoherence for this one?
Decoherence is run by MP Lockwood, who lives in New York.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, he is the one-man project Radio Shock.
Mm-hmm.
And we've known him. He's another person we've known on and off for years. And we didn't have any place to really put this record at the time. And he kind of very quickly stepped up and said, yeah, I'd love to do that. He did say something years past about doing something, but we only wanted him to do a different format of an existing
record. Oh, right. Yeah. Where it's like, here's this edition of it, kind of.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah.
But even back then, he told me, he's like, listen, like I'll do a whole record if it's, this is the record and like, this is the label putting it out. Yeah. So it was easy.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's, I remember him from, you know, Yahoo Groups days. Yahoo Groups, everyone. First of all, there's this thing called Yahoo. Secondly, there's a thing called email groups. Oh, my God. Anyway, Internet 2.0. We'll call it. But, yeah, that's a name I've not heard in a while.
Yeah.
No, that's great. It feels like that's a good match for you guys, too, and what you do.
Yeah,
so that's
and he's put out some other really good stuff recently too. That we like he did the Fleshnarch record.
Who just played Caterwaul? Yeah, I got to experience Fleshnarch firsthand.
Yeah, he did the Chaser record.
That's right. Yeah,
and a bunch of other stuff. It's just
didn't he put out like what are they called? Sexual Jeremy. That's if I remember correctly.
I think so. I'm not totally certain.
Well, they were the only band. The reason I bring it up, so the only bands that ever actually kind of reminded me of U.S. Maple, not even because they really sounded that much like U.S. Maple, but like in that way of just like taking the sort of deconstructive nature of like what is a rock music?
Yeah, it's more
like the Conformists in that way too. You know, which is interesting. But yeah, just talk about like you know, Freaks, Nerds, and Weirdos complimentary. So decoherence.bandcamp.com, Temporal Shifter's name of the record. Of course, I'll link to it in the show notes. Last time I had you on, you know, I didn't want to spend too much time talking about, you know, the other bands, but you know, I was a big Night Vapor fan. Like, I was sad when that band came to an end. I was wondering if you could explain about what happened with Night Vapor.
It just ran its course, and I think there were different people that wanted different things out of being in a band. Hmm. That's all.
I still throw on both the ZZ Tape and the Yankee Rose as well.
The ZZ Tape is one of my favorite things I've ever recorded.
It's pretty good, dude.
Thank you.
it does the exact thing that you set out for it to do, which is absolute success. And
yeah, I It's one of my favorite things. I was just thinking about that the other day, and I was like, oh, well, we did a...
Remember when we did that?
Remember? Went into a recording studio to just record covers.
Right. which would be a flex for any band, but especially for a band like Night Vapor that was, you know, just so idiosyncratic in a very different way from Microwaves. It was just like, oh, okay. You know, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Manic Mechanic's like a normal song for that band. <You know>?
Exactly.
But it's one of those things. Like, I feel like it's a target audience of me for that. You know,
well, so
of course, I loved it.
that was another thing too. That like it sold better than we predicted.
Right.
It had a listenability to it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, you know, there's something to be said for reimagining. I'm thinking of The Residents, right? You know, with like, you know, the James Brown record. And,
right.
Hank Williams record, where it's like, wow, some of these songs I never thought about twice. But like, you know, you think about them in totally different ways when they're arranged differently and the sounds are so different.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a big old nerd for that kind of thing. and that's that was a bit. I like that band a lot. Yeah, that was sad to see it go. Tell me, Rated I. What's up with Rated I? What's happening there?
Rated I was sort of, in a way, designed to be the follow up to Night Vapor.
Yeah, I feel that.
And it kind of didn't work out. So, our guitar player quit. And we just decided that we just wanted to have people in the band that mm-hmm. just wanted to be in a band together, regardless of what instrument they play. So we now have two bass players.
Okay.
And
how's that?
It's great. And I mean, like the sound is just more, the way everything operates is just based on like who's there, you know, mm-hmm. Not like we're trying to write a certain type of song. Some of the things are more, I don't know, they're a little bit more sludgy, but also a little bit more dub.
Oh, interesting. Like kind of PIL style?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we really leaned into this like pill thing with two bass players.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. I can kind of see that. Through line, I mean, from the one time I saw you, which was with Us and Godbullies, if I remember right, in Louisville.
Right, when we, where was that? Louisville.
Louisville, yeah, playing the tapes. I could see kind of that sort of exploration. Yeah, yeah. Makes sense to me.
Because we had a little bit of that before, but you know, again, it was just sort of based on who was in the band and what everybody wanted to agree on.
Sure.
So this is just the thing now that the new four people agree on.
That's a different set of four, sure, absolutely. Yeah. And of course, we'd be remiss not mention Brown Angel too, right?
I guess.
If you don't want to be comprehensive, that's fine. We don't have to. It's not put you out.
Well, I mean,
you got somewhere to be?
No, I'm already there. If we want to be comprehensive,
it's not going to be comprehensive. I don't have that kind of time. Yeah. But like, I mean, it would be. I didn't realize. I think how much of a thing Brown Angel is until somewhat recently. For as long as I've known you. So, yeah, tell me about Brown Angel.
Brown Angel. Well, that is sort of the baby of Adam, who has sometimes been the bassist in Microwaves.
I think was last time that we talked on this show, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that was a disaster.
It was a lot. Believe me, there's a few disasters. That wasn't one of them. That was a little bit trying. But
It was repeated bad connections.
Anytime you got bad connections are not my, you know, it's almost like it's really difficult to do something live with a group. I don't know, crazy idea, but
that too.
it worked out fine. I think David was the most annoyed out of everybody, which is hilarious. I found the humor in it. Like, whatever, it's fine by me. You guys are fine in my book.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we did with our moment.
Yeah. Like, the level of his disgust / disdain was deeply
very,
hilarious to me.
On brand.
Yeah, very much. Exactly. Brand consistency, man. And that's absolutely. How long has Brown Angel been going?
Brown Angel has been going since 2006. And I remember playing our first show early 2007. And it's mostly been Adam and I and our friend Mike, who was also in Night Vapor, who was the bassist. And, it's just like they're all Adam songs. His way of working is a little bit more rigid, you know, where it's kind of like he does bring in things and he's like, okay, this is how the song goes.
It goes like this.
This is my music, my lyrics, you know, these are my drum parts to a greater extent than I would in other bands. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that a lot of things I had to really push myself to learn how to do. That was part of why I'm there. You know?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then, you know, with him joining Microwaves, you know, that's a different method of operation. Was that
very different?
Whiplash?
And I'll admittedly say it's not always comfortable fit, but wouldn't change any of it.
Right. Well, sometimes, that discomforting nature, can provide interesting results. It just can be, you know, challenging to
exactly
work through as a player or whatever, what have you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I said earlier, you know, like we wanted to do something somewhat unique, at least, at one point I thought maybe that's how you do it, there are some hurdles,
right?
You know, it's not going to be as easy as just kind of like come in and just play the song.
Yeah, maybe it's too easy. Maybe we need to make it really more difficult.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that's the secret.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something to be said for them. I think there's also, I think it's a fetishization of a kind of resting conflict sometimes with especially amongst the legendary bands. We're like, oh no, it was good in spite of the conflict, not because of it. There are cases that's not the case, but I don't know. I mean, the more time goes on, I'm like, it's kind of nice just to have a good time though.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good too.
I think we've learned.
It's like, oh yeah, Robert Fripp, that makes great music, but it seems like he'd be a real prick too. You know?
Yeah. Okay. No, but I think at this point we've learned, you know, when it's time to like, shut down that part of the process.
Right, right. Fun. It's nice that you've had, you know, this long as musicians working together and trying different things to be able to even be like, oh, yeah, I tried that, you know, didn't work, or tried that, got this out of it, don't want to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's even approaching things creatively, and knowing that those are approaches, you know, is a lot further than some people ever get.
Yeah.
Playing music in general, let alone with the same freaking, more or less same outfit, you know. Something to be said for that. So what's next in the microwaves world? What are you guys doing? You got this record. What are you doing with it? Being on a protonic reversal. What else?
We
That's it. That's is that the full rollout plan?
That's it.
It's a lot of pressure for me.
Yeah, we have some shows next week. We're playing a couple shows in Ohio, and then we're playing the PRF barbecue in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're in the process of booking some stuff for the fall, starting to figure out how that's going to work. You know, we have a handful of new stuff already. Like we,
oh really? Well, you guys are always grinding, so
yeah. Like I mean, like we already have what, like 6 new songs we're working on.
Wow. Okay.
So. You know, some, and they're all over the map. Just kind of like the last album. You know, all over our map.
Right. Which is a type of cartography that maybe is not used by most bands, but that's fine. That's
right, okay. Right.
cool. So yeah, anything else coming up in Microwave's world that you want to get out while we're talking?
Nothing on the docket that I can pimp right now.
Okay. Well, it's always good to have you. Like, you know, yeah. A little less chaotic than last time. I don't hate to disappoint, but, you know, we could we could make some fake static noises if you want.
Sorry. We've done that.
You don't want to, go back to material you've already gone through? Yeah, exactly.
You can go back and watch that episode.
Right on. Well, John Roman, it's great to have you. See, I'm glad we got to make it work. Last thing, probably did this last time, couldn't even tell you, but only can question I ever ask on this very show. Why do you do what you do?
Mental health.
That's real. John Roman, thanks so much, sir.
Thanks for having me, Conan.
Until next time.
Cheers.
There he goes, Mr. John Roman of the Man Microwaves. Very cool. Very cool. Temporal Shifter is the name of the record. Let's hear some of that sweet, sweet saxophone. We're going to do Decalcomania. That's right. That's the wild and woolly world of microwaves. Decalcomania from Temporal Shifter. That, of course, is featuring some saxophone from Ben Opie. And you can find that decoherence.bandcamp.com. Find most things microwaves on their Bandcamp as well, microwaves.bandcamp.com. Yeah, their Instagram, their Facebook. You know, I haven't looked most of the things. But anyway, yeah, I love those dudes. Great to have John Roman back on the show. Check that record out. Go see them if they're in your area. Cool, cool, cool. Name of the show is Code of Neutrons Protonic Reversal. Thank you so very much for listening to it. Find this show on Thursdays, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 6 Mountain, 5 Pacific, streaming live on YouTube and Twitch. Podcast it later everywhere. Always free. No ads, no sponsors, no kidding. If you like the show, you want to get episodes sooner, $1 a month at patreon.com/protonicreversal. $1 a month helps achieve that goal. Helps keep the lights on in this joint, which is deeply appreciated. Got a bunch of cool Protonics coming up for you. This merry month of July and August, before Secret Friends out on tour again, late August and September. Stay tuned for all that. Of course, if you like the show, or even a single episode, please feel free to like, subscribe on your platform of choice. Leave a review. That helps beat back the algorithm. It's appreciated as well. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Let's see. What's coming up next? We got, let's see. Alexander Haka of Noe Bauten and Danielle Machado. The Machado. Neurosis guy's coming up. Look, there's a bunch of stuff happening. Electricity. Stay tuned, baby. Let's stay safe out there.
Out on Route 128, in the dark and lonely. I got my radio on. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? To my top 10. I'd like to thank our sponsor. But we haven't got a sponsor. Not if you were the last man on earth. She was prepared to prove it. This one goes out to a special girl. But there is no special girl! It's the end of radio! The last announcer plays the last record! The last what? Leaves the transmitter! Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
it really broadcasting if there's no one there to receive? It's the end of radio. As we come to the close of our broadcast day.